Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. This is your beloved brother Murad Muhammad live on your Blog Talk Radio at 7 p.m. Monday morning. It gives me great privilege, and surely I am highly honored to be able to come to the station and speak to all of you who are out there in radio land and TV land. It motivates me and surely gives me determination to have the desire to say something to the right, because it gives you barakat. I like using that word, barakat, which is blessings. It's blessings that we all should take into mindset. That's how we get into Jannah. Blessings is to allow you to be able to want to get up in the morning and do something for others, not just for yourself. When you come to the knowledge of understanding why we was created, and when you come to the knowledge of understanding what time that we are living in, when you come to the knowledge and understand where you're going, and when you come into that light enlightening, it does something to your soul and motivates you and give you desire to want to help others. In spite of all the trials and tribulations and the things that take you down, you can work so hard, brothers and sisters, for your children, and you can do all that you can do for them and try to motivate them to be better than you are. You can even give your life, children, if you have to. And then they grow up and they come to the mindset that they don't care anything about you and don't believe that you did anything to help them. Now, that can frustrate you, and that surely can knock you down to your knees. But out of ignorance, that happens. Because if, in fact, you don't understand that you've done your best with good intention for your babies and for your children and your young adults, they will always be your children, some ingrates, of course, but they're always your children. Can go on with your life, because God is great, and not a leaf fall from the tree without the will of God. So you have to understand God is great, and we do these things for the sake of Allah. So sometimes it's not even your children, it could be your siblings. You can have problems with your siblings. I don't care what you tell them, they're not listening, and you feel bad for them because you believe that you can instill and motivate them to stand up and be all that they can, but they're not listening. And sometimes you agree because that's your sibling. You all came out of the same womb. That's your sibling. And so you try to instill in that sibling that God has given you a gift to help. They don't want your help. And then you can have friends, and you can have acquaintances, and you can have loved ones, and you can have, today they call stepchildren. You can have all of that. But yet, they don't care anything about you. Or they'll take everything you have and don't get in a position that you can't give no more. Oh, my God, you just got shocked. And you're amazed at how anyone that you have taken care of will go against you. Well, that's only if you read. If you read, Allah said, I didn't say it. Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah glorify his name. He said, I will try you all the way to your grave. And who are you not to be tried? I have tried those before you. So that means there's a consistent try that you must have to bear. But God also said, I don't place a burden on the soul that it cannot withstand. So you have to understand today we are being tried. Yes, we are being tried with material substance. And that's one thing I want to talk about, this material substance. Because it's amazing to me that we use these words, and yet we are a victim of these words, because most of us don't even know what they mean. We read the Holy Quran, but the Holy Quran is just words. If it don't help your condition, it's just another song being read to you. You cannot grasp in your mind, because you are this world, and you took on this world.
Now, don't misconstrue me when I say this world. It doesn't mean you're supposed to dismiss this world. If you're dismissing this world and you're trying to walk around God's trial, you're not going to walk around God's trial. God's going to try you every day, hour, every minute, every second. It's a trial. We get hurt. And once we get hurt, we don't want to get better. So we give up on life. Yes, we hurt a hip, we hurt a leg, and some of us can have a stroke. But what do? We give up on life. We get sick, and we're so sick we don't even want to get out the bed. We don't even want to help ourselves. We don't want no one to help us to help ourselves. What happened? You gave up. You give up and you become obesity. You know your obesity because there's people your age. It's slim and trim. There's people your age that exercise. There's people your age that watch or take in to their substance. But you gave up. You don't know constantly you gave up. Because ain't no, when someone tell you how fat you are, how out of shape you are, you get upset. Well, they've been trying to tell you, look in the mirror. You like what you're looking at? I don't think so. But you don't care. So if you don't care, you think God cares? Well, he gave you ability to help yourself. He gave you the ability to choose right or wrong, but you gave up. And because you gave up, he gives up on you. So you gave up on wanting more knowledge. You gave up to want to be motivated to another level. You become complacent in your life. That is not Islam. That could be Islam, yes, but you will never find that word in the Holy Quran. For the Holy Quran says Islam. And El-Islam, if you would follow it, it would help you tremendously. But El-Islam is a compliment to the righteous person. You ain't righteous, it can't help you. If you low-life, it can't help you. If you have no morals, it can't help you. Don't you know, brothers and sisters, that Satan has got you all confused and you're all messed up, but yet you say that you are in Islam? Well, America don't know the difference. Donald Trump, Mr. President Donald Trump, because he is the president, and I respect all those in the authority, and right now you allow him to become an authority. You had a right to vote him not to be there, but most of y'all didn't care. You didn't care if it was Bernie. You didn't care if it was Clinton, and surely you now care is Donald Trump. However, not a leaf falls from the tree without the will of God. So how you got to look at it? God don't make no mistakes. No, he doesn't make no mistakes. There's nothing ugly in his will. But there's a reason why Donald Trump has been blessed. Would you say that? Blessed in the eyesight, the largest country in the world. Could be a major trial for him since he's on that level of power. And that's the way Allah begins to punish you. When you're on top of the mountain, over top of everyone, you're just right for God himself. So you got to look at what's the good. You'll see the reality. Oh, he's putting people over top of the school with no education, come from a despicable family life, billionaires. The son is killing everybody. The mother didn't give a damn, and surely the daughter don't care. But yet they over the school system. What does she do? She gets rid of the school system called public school. So the government do not support that anymore. You got to do it for yourself. I like that. You love your children, then help your own children. City, state, you pay taxes here. So why are they not giving education to our children? Why the parents don't come out and find out that most of the children in one school is not going to graduate? And I understand, because it hit the records when it comes out, you can say it because someone printed that half of Plainfield High School is going to stay back. Isn't that amazing? Half. How did that happen? Oh, you want to blame the children. Well, you shouldn't be there. If you can't motivate these children, you can't instill. But who do it fall on? The principal. The director, who's over top of that education. You know what their excuse is? We don't have no money. Well, how much money did we have in the 60s, in the 70s, in the 80s? But when you got in no classroom, them teachers, mostly those black teachers, but I got to give credit to the Caucasian teachers. When my mother and that generation, you came through high school, my God, you thought you went to college. Because what they taught in grammar school, in high school, is what they teach in college. So they had the ability with no money, but a will. Where there's a will, there's a way. But these teachers do not, you hear me, do not have a will to help your children. I'm going to go a little further. They are angry. One, Islamic. Yes, Islamic sister. Islamic sister, and there's many more. I'm just so happy this one stands out because everyone's trying to attack Islam. And that's another story for me this evening about how can anyone attack Islam. But this Islamic sister was doing so good that she got awards for her outstanding achievement. But if you got 20 classrooms, and I'm just using the number, it could be 50, but 20 classrooms, and you got the best class every year or every cycle, you get an award. But guess what? The other teachers don't like her. Why they don't like her? Because you get paid more money teaching these special ed children. So you want to keep them dumb, deaf, and blind so you get paid. What kind of sensitivity? Where's their heart? They have lost everything in society that you want to blame Donald Trump. Oh, you need to blame those teachers that turn their love for our family, our members, our children that come through school. And where are your parents? Do you know 90% of parents don't know they stand back? Why? They don't come to PTA. They don't care. They just drop their children off for you to babysit them while they do whatever they got to do during the week. Now, I'm not talking about all teachers, but these type of teachers stand out. Something is wrong with the system. And what's wrong with the system? There's no fear. I remember talking to Emmanuel Dean Muhammad, and I'm a student of Emmanuel Dean Muhammad, and I take pride in doing so. That's why you will hear me on Block Talk Radio, New Africa, Excellent Enterprise. Mirage Speaks will talk like this. We don't fear to give credit where credit's due because we get rewarded and God will give you more if you give credit where credit's due. But I asked Emmanuel Wallace Dean Muhammad, my teacher, brother man, and God out of the school. He said, no, Mirage, don't say that. They didn't take God out of the school. God is in every nature of every human being. And they cannot take that out. Made a lot of sense to me. Meaning you should be motivated in your nature. You should be in tune with your nature. Can no one take God away from you? So that brings me to a point. Come here, little girl. How old are you? 7 years old. Tell me. Because a lot of these adults don't know it. But tell me, where is God? Now, you sitting there, listen to this 7-year-old. That is an excellent question. But to a 7-year-old, she knows it more so than the 17-year-old. How about the 27-year-old? How about the 57-year-old? Where is God, young lady? Well, sir, God is close to me than to my juggle of veins. So God is with me all the time. My God, very profound answer, because that is correct. So ask that principal, ask that director, ask those teachers as their imperial substance and will sell heaven down for permanent heaven while they live on earth. Oh my God, permanent. It's not permanent on this earth, because that's what you think it is. It is not permanent. It's temporary. It's your trial to get to the hereafter. So why would you sell the hereafter for this life? You see how you fell victim? You see how you don't come into the understanding and think that you're not going to die? But you're going to pay. You're going to pay for what you're doing to our children. So now if, in fact, you understand that, brothers and sisters, that God will punish you individually, he will punish you for you giving up. And you worrying about Donald Trump? Is he not an individual or is he a God? Whoa, I don't know how you think that a man walking on this earth is God. But God has no associates. And he can't walk. And he can't get up in the morning. And he can't protect his children when Allah sends the death angel. You got to go. You can do all the crying you want. But Allah will remove you if he thinks that you are trying to destroy his greatest creation in the world. What is that? The upright human being that he has created as the third creature in this world, the crown of creation. When you understand that, you no longer have any doubt. Bismillah, the Rahman, the Rahim. With God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, the Lord of all the world. I want to thank Allah for giving me today to be able to come to you and give you all the salam. It gives me thanks, and surely I praise Allah. I say alhamdulillah. We trust in God for our future and to expand our heart for love for each other, that God will bless us, that we will achieve, and to be able to come into the consciousness and knowing that we should be obedient to him. For we bear witness that there is only but one God, and not openly bear witness that Prophet Muhammad Ibn Abdullah, the son of Abdullah, is the seal of the prophets. And these are the things that we should say to people that's willing to listen, that when we say the seal of the prophets, you know, I was talking to my son this morning, and I said, wait, you can't call nobody? He said, Dad, I've been trying to call you, and you must be missing my call. I said, how could I miss your call? And you is the last. You're the seal. For there's no more babies coming out of that womb called your mother. So that's it. But do the seal make him better than the other children that came out that womb? No, it only means no more is coming. That's all it means. But the seal of the prophet, he has all the prophets came before him in him. Now we count six, but those are the ones Allah wants you to see. But there's thousands of prophets that came through this earth. But we don't have to talk about all of them. Because if, in fact, you start reading the life stories of all of them, well, brother and sister, you'd be all messed up. Because you don't know, listen, you should trust Job. That's another story, and I don't think I have time to explain about that word, Job. But you talk about Job. You talk about Noah. How about you talk about Joseph? How about Ishmael? How about Isaac? How about all those prophets? Do we mention them? No, we don't mention them that much, but you can go into the books and read about them. But what holds you up? You're all confused. You begin to read. That's what we do. We read. But if you knew what them stories represented, then I can understand. Because each one of them is a sign to you for who you are. And that's what God gives us, this sign first. So you can be awakened to what Allah is trying to tell you. But it ain't first thing you read in the Holy Quran or in the Bible is physical. It's a perception. What are you saying, Murad? That we read the stories of the major prophets? There's no such thing as a major prophet. But it's a good language to use that you put more emphasis on Jesus, so you will call him a major prophet. That's okay with the English language. But in Islam, when you read in the Arabic, you'll find out he is no he does not supersede any other prophet. About Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Well, we give him the excellent salute that's given to mankind, but is he a dominate over Jesus? How about Abraham? How about Moses? How about Noah? No, no such thing. One prophet over top of another prophet. Now that I brought that to your attention, you read it, and you shakes, you know it, but you don't teach it. You know why you don't teach it? Because if, in fact, you don't teach someone everything, they don't have to come back to your classroom. But if, in fact, you give them the ability to go out and read for themselves, they escalate above you, or they become equal to you, or at least they go on their own. What man called himself children, want his children to be beneath him? No. Equal, that's the less I would take, but better. You want them to stand on your shoulder and reach out. Not some of these imams. Man, when you talking about opening up a masjid just in Jersey, you in trouble. Because they can't take that. They don't want you to open up a masjid. You say they ain't qualified. Who are you to say who's qualified and who is not qualified? Do they know how to lead them in Fatiha? Do they know one juice of the Quran and their heart's right? I'd rather go to that masjid because their heart right for one that can recite the whole Quran without looking at it. Oh, he's a Hafiz, but can't produce a damn thing. He can't grow. He can't draw. He can't do anything. What is it? Word. It's just word. But he can't bring enlightenment to the condition. What condition? The hell in which they are catching. That's amazing to me. That's amazing to me. And you see, Farah, Muhammad, came from another part of the country. Not this country. Came over here for a reason. Because he was selling silk. So he was peddling. Enough to send him through college. But he saw there's a problem over here. And because there's a problem, he's now going to awaken us. And he did. He woke us up to how they are practicing Christianity in America, and it surely don't fit us. And so here come a man from Augusta, Georgia, comes from Christianity, and decides to move out of Georgia and migrate to Detroit, Michigan. I don't believe that he got revelation and he felt that he was going to go on past his father, who was a preacher. He felt that it was meant for him to go to Detroit. Look, a way to take care of himself and his family. I'll give him that. And surely he been a man that he referred to as Master Farad Muhammad. And Master Farad Muhammad taught him about Islam. And surely none of us knew about Islam because none of us woke up one day and say, we're going to go over to the East and study this and come back. No, we didn't do that. But Master Farad, if you want to refer to him as that, he was a master in his belief, and could not believe any man comes with new knowledge that we've never heard of, but for whatever reason, it fitted our nature, it's a master. So we really thought he was God, and we gave him the title, God. And that's another story. but I don't think I have enough in my 2 hours to teach you who he really was. But it worked. He was God. And my God, as we will say, it did wonders for us through the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And he used a phrase, and that phrase woke us up. Remember, he said, we was mentally dead. Did you hear what I say? That we was mentally dead. It meant something. But he didn't mean that we was mentally dead as a people. He meant individually you was mentally dead. Oh, yeah. When you mentally dead individually, you can't make it. And what did that mean? Individually, you were selling drugs. Individually, you was robbing banks. Individually, you were stealing from people, your neighbor. Individually, you did all the despicable things you have to do. No morals. No morals. Free sex. Not going to school. Don't get an education. Didn't care. Committed adultery. You didn't care about nobody's wife. And a wife didn't care about nobody else's husband. So we were doing all the things wrong. But the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that he came to waken up the mentally dead. And then used a phrase, a beautiful phrase. What is the duty of the civilized man? The civilized man is to teach the uncivilized man. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad began to teach us. And we began to read a little bit, but we didn't know about Prophet Muhammad. Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, 1,400 years ago. But we knew this Muhammad, Elijah Muhammad, who migrated to Detroit, Michigan, the name Elijah Poole. Amazing, isn't it? Yes, it's amazing. But the point is that look what they have done in America. It took the downtrodden, the deaf, dumb, and blind, those who didn't want nothing out of life. Look what it's done for us. It lifted us up and stopped us from selling drugs and stopped us from doing the despicable things and losing our morals. It stopped us from not wanting family and raising children. It stopped us from just walking around with an idle man, idle mind. And you say, it's an old saying, idle mind is a devil workshop. That's what we was said. That's what we was doing. And that's what we was a victim of. More important than that, we took on a pale-faced, blue-eyed, blonde-headed Caucasian that we thought was Jesus, our God. We overcame that. Oh, we didn't believe that no man walking this planet was God. We didn't believe that a pale-faced, blue-eyed, blonde head that put us in depression and into slavery, we became so superior over him that we called him the devil. Yes, we referred to him as the devil because the Honorable Elijah Muhammad knew that if, in fact, that you didn't believe they was devils, you would have felt inferior to them. 400 years and plus of slavery, raping our mothers and raping our little girls at 5 years old, impregnating them and shipping the babies from all parts of the country and sometimes outside. And they didn't even know their parents. Hung our brothers from the tree, castrated our fathers. Oh, did they tar and feather you and tied you to two different horses going the opposite direction, one leg tied to one horse and the other leg tied to the other horse. This sent a shock wave to our parents. Man wanted to kill them, and the mother was terrified. Then they would come, and you came and lift your head up because of slavery. If you did, you got whipped, and you had to slave all day from sun up to sundown, picking cotton and you had to do your share. The more you did, the ease he would let off you. And then he comes and gets your mother and abuses her right in front of the father. He can't do nothing about it, too scared, because he would lose his life. And then they would do it in front of the little girl, 5 years old, who's crying for mama. And then the little girl said, here come the beast. And the beast gets her. And then they don't give you no food to eat. You used to eat insects. You used to eat snakes and rats and all the animals that crawled around. That was your food. And then they would take a month of slop, everything they didn't want, and put it in a big tub and put some water in it and put grits in it and all kinds of pig feet and animals and stuff they ate. And then say, come on, niggas, you come and eat. Oh, did you forget all of that? Do you forget what the female went through in having to do some of the despicable things and you hear in there screaming? Well, you know, brother, that for some reason the black man's built different than the Caucasian man. And yet, what could he do by coming behind you hurting her? So that means he's using some kind of material instrument, some kind of stick or whatever it is, and jam it up your brother and jam it up your call you in to wipe up the blood. This is sick. And this is allowed in America. Well, I'm here to tell you in Delta, Mississippi is going on right now today. You don't know about it. You don't care about it. And you're walking around here with Islam, and yet you care nothing about anyone other than yourself. That's why you stay inside. That's why you don't watch TV, because you don't want to know what's going on. That's why you don't walk amongst people, because you want to make it to Jannah, but you don't want to go through your trial. What is the duty of the civilized man? To teach the uncivilized. And you knock the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Those brothers doing the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, may Allah give him highest in paradise for saving us, cleaning us up internally, cleaning us up mentally. Oh, did he raise the deaf, dumb, and blind? The Honorable Elijah Muhammad says, wake up, black man, and you can conquer what you will. Stand up. Stand up for yourself and kind. Love self and kind. Love your wife, and today you want to abuse her. Why? Because the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is not here. Brother, he did his job. You don't have to charge him. But the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, may Allah be pleased with him, said, stand up, you mighty people, for what you will. But now you won't stand. You're still bent over, scared that the white man might hit you or Donald Trump might do something against you. You're a coward in your heart. You won't come together as you ought to come together. But slavery, today, the same things I just uttered out of my mouth, the words I talked about slavery 1,400 years ago is going on right now today. Three generations, not one, not two, three generations. This young girl who's now 30 is talking about all the things that she saw. Men being killed, little babies being killed and abused. What are they doing today? They doing today. A beautiful young lady told me that you know that they just busted half, about 40 or 50. She don't know if it's 60 or 70 or 100. Who cares? It could be one should get you. I don't care if it's 3 or 4 or 2,000. Not one should be raped. And these are men of stature. These are men that hold major posts in America. Is raping our children. But guess what? They found out in Israel, they got it bad over there. Jewish girl is catching hell because they're being raped by the army. They're being raped by the politician. Matter of fact, they just charged the president of the United States. for raping women. It's like it's a culture. Well, see how Allah works? See, you don't understand how Allah fights. The priest makes you think that you shouldn't have sex. Oh, he can't have sex because he's so close to God. And you send your little child to the priest. And then you sit up there and tell your life to another man. Oh, I screwed this man, and forgive me, Father. And I did this, and I did this. And you, brother, oh, I robbed so-and-so. Excuse me, Father. He said, just put that money in the plate, and your sins will be forgotten. But meanwhile, he knows you. You ain't no good, so he rapes your little son. He sodomized your little son, your little daughter. And there's thousands of them. I asked the email. Now, he's been gone for years. So this ain't just happened. I said, brother, man, how man of the cloth, how man of the cloth can stoop so low? He went against the grain, Murad. He went against the grain. And when you don't do what creates you do, then what happens to you? Now you want little boys. You want little girls because you don't believe you should have a woman. You shouldn't marry a woman. You shouldn't have children. So they're all confused. It's like anything get out of order of matter, it would fall out the sky. Everything God creates is perfect. What's happening to you today? You don't want a husband. You want a sex partner. That's all it is, a sex partner. And then you think you're hiding. Everybody knows. Everybody knows but you. But that's not the point, because you don't lost that consciousness. And you do it because of why? You don't care no more. That's how it happens. It's like smoking a cigarette. You smoke a cigarette because you don't care if you're going to cut something. Let me die for something. So I'll die smoking. I'll die getting high. I'll die and might catch AIDS. You don't care. You're playing Russian roulette. But when you come into the mindset of the consciousness of God, you can't do that. That's not what you're supposed to be about. Come against the grain, then women go with women, and men go, and then you think it's comfortable. How is it? Take off your clothes. Look in the mirror. God didn't create that. Who created that? And why do you have a womb? Why do you have a womb? Don't that tell you that you need a man? Oh, no. God made a mistake. Why, you are out your mind. How could you be out your mind? You're out your mind because you gave up on God. And when you give up on God, he gives up on you. And then all of a sudden, brother, you don't want to marry. You don't want to take care of family. You don't want to be good to your wife, and you're sitting around waiting for something come by and looks, oh, she's gorgeous. She's beautiful. You know, I used to use a metaphor. I said, a brother come in there, and he says, here, how you like her? Whoa, she's pretty. What makes her pretty? Oh, she got beautiful long hair. Oh, is she a petite? She's gorgeous. She's got all the things a man wants. Give me that one. Okay, you got that one. What you want? Say, oh, man, you see this other one? She's thick in all the right places. And, oh, my God, you say, oh, she's the one. This is the one. Oh, is that the one you want? Yeah, that's the one I want. And then here comes this one that everybody think is ugly. Yes, they believe she's ugly, and they think she's ugly. You say, well, I'm going to take that one. And then next year, you see the one that grabbed the first one. You say, man, how's your wife doing? Man, did you know that woman was a prostitute? So did she quit? No, she didn't quit. Man, I caught her out there a prostitute making money. She said, that's what I've been doing. What do you got, man? You thought you took the one that was thick and all that. And man, you say, yeah, but she's a junkie. A junkie? Yes. She getting high. I come in the house and shoot needles. I said, my God. What about yours? Man, her heart is so beautiful and so kind. She got everything a man wants.
And guess what? She was a virgin. What I'm saying is, it's not the physical attraction. It's what you can't see. The inner soul of the human being, the heart of the human being, the nature of the human being. When she exposed that, my God, you got you a virgin. Now, you sisters are so hung up in the English language. You think a virgin is one that ain't been touched, like a 4-year-old, 5-year-old, about 10-year-old, 11-year-old, 12-year-old. That's not what God is saying. That's your mind with that little pea brain you have. That's your mind. This is a temporary world. And you were so hung up. There was a sister that needed help. Oh, you ain't letting your husband help that sister. Well, she got 5 babies. Yeah, but she is so attractive. And my husband ain't going around. Not the woman. What about the babies? You don't give a damn. She will not have my husband go over there and help them. Tell her to find the daddy. The daddy locked up for the next 40 years. Tell her to find the daddy. The daddy's out there on drugs, look like he's dying. Go find the daddy. Daddy's dead. What about these children? Don't care. You do not care. So all the way over in Israel, they got this problem with women being raped, little girls being raped and charged by the people who caused the law. Oh, this is a fact. But I better not give out the number, because if I give out the number, this beautiful, gorgeous woman will get upset. You should have it right. It should be correct. Ain't nothing out there correct. There's no press out there correct. They lie about everything. They tell you that this Muslim did that, and that's a lie. One major individual got up and said 90% of these accusations and innuendos about Muslim is fabrication. Has no validity to it whatsoever. But you go for it. Now, I want to expose child molesters. I want to expose the ones that's running through our female. Do I need to know the number? No, I don't need to know the number. It could be one, and I'm happy to say that. Whoever you are, Allah gonna get you. Yes, in this world and in the hereafter. But it's a wake-up call to us. That if we don't protect our children, if we don't go in these schools, man, don't you know all you social degree, you bachelor degree, all of you who have master degree should say if Plainfield is on the radar screen, then you should volunteer that we'll go in there and turn them children around. I'll take an hour out of my day. And can you imagine 50 teachers go to Plainfield on their own and grab them children one by one? Whatever they would do, they would feel like someone loved them. And that's the problem. They're not being loved. And you don't care. I know you're not Christianity, because you can see a guy in the streets having sex. Don't mean nothing. You keep going. You ain't even called the authority. You can see Miss Mary get shot. You're not even going to tell. You're not going to do nothing but turn your head. That's not a human being. That surely is not Islam. So we should care. And the only way we're going to care if we get back. And so I'm putting it on blast. That it's a shame that a few more months these kids are going to graduate. Now, I know another sister, and she's an Islamic sister. Just so happens she asked me to come with her so she can see the principal. Now, I thank Allah. I beg Allah to make me large. So Murad Muhammad calls. The Murad Muhammad? Yes, the Murad Muhammad. Yes, tell him I'll see him today. So I walked in with the sister. And I said, excuse me. So, oh, Murad, man, I watch you on TV, and you come in my living room, and man, I said, I'm not here for that. I want you to listen to her. She said, I have a niece, and she grew up in a terrible neighborhood. But she's an intelligent young girl, and I understand you're going to keep her back. Oh, yes, I got to keep her back. She said, but you can't keep her back. You keep this girl back, she'll be in the streets. He said, what do you want me to do? She's graduating in 7 weeks, and she's behind. He said, well, give her a chance. Give her a chance. It's totally impossible. She said, what do you think, you God? You know what's impossible. I'm telling you to take care of my niece and give her opportunity. He was stubborn. My God, you couldn't move him. And then the sister broke down. And she started crying. And as soon as the principal saw that, he jumped up around, my man, you can't touch her. That's somebody's wife. As much as I would like to hold her, I can't hold her in her weak moment. So he said, okay, stop crying. I'll give her another chance. And I said to her, you won. No need to cry no more. You won. And Allah be my witness. She worked with that child, and she graduated and went to college. Allahu Akbar. But that's why I respect that young lady, because her children are raised. But she went and fought for another child. Can you imagine if we all did that? We can turn this education around. I'm going to give you another guy. This young man come into school, and this young man didn't want nobody to teach him anything. He didn't like them. He thought that they all was devils. They couldn't teach him anything. And one teacher said, if I had him, I'd slam his head up against the locker. All in his mind, he used to talk about how he going to beat that teacher up if she put her hands on him. And got in that class, because everybody said he was just, he ruled the school, beat up the bullies. That's what I liked about him. He didn't beat up weak people. He beat up the bullies. And he ruled the school. They wanted to send him to a special school. But the principal said, no, you can reach him. But he got in that school with his mouth poked out. But that teacher showed him so much love, turned his whole life around. Because the only love he had was his mother. The teachers wasn't giving them no love, but that one did. And he became the greatest promoter of all times, Muhammad. Don't tell me it doesn't work. These children are not loved. No one cares. You got your degree. You've been successful. But you won't reach back to those whose mothers are on drugs, or fathers on drugs, or in jail. They got no one to go home to, but we won't build no gymnasium for. It's a problem. But Donald Trump says your problem. And you got black politicians. Yes, you got councilmen and silly men, and you have councilmen, councilwomen. Yes, you got mayors and deputy mayors. Yes, you got senators. You got all these things, but what do you have? Nothing. Why the hell not vote for me? Because I might do better than them, because they are not doing anything for you. And you know what you rally behind? Money. All guy got to do is come here with some money, and boy, yes, a boy. Where you want my damn boy? Oh, this is the one. A one for who? You? Yes. So you or your son or your daughter can have a job for 4 years, or how about 4 more years? So that's how we choose our candidate. I'm telling you, brother and sister, they plan, they plot, and Allah plans, Allah best of planning. But there's going to be an announcement, because we got one that we raised from kindergarten, and we taught him well. And this brother put everything in him, and is not his son. You ever saw, if you hadn't, but if you need to go see it and rent it, call The Gladiator. The Gladiator was loyal to his daddy, but that wasn't his daddy. And his son was weak, and his son wanted to take over Rome until he killed his own daddy. Killed his own daddy so he can be a ruler. And then took out his children, sent the army to rape his mother, because he knew he was dead. Well, guess what? the soldiers he taught turned their back, and he broke loose, killed all of them, then ran to go save his children and his wife, and they hung from a tree. Ah, did that mess him up. And yes, he had nothing to live for, so he became the gladiator. And he was killing everything in front of him. But his goal was to get to Rome, because he wanted that son that killed the only man he loved as his own father. Yeah, I told you the story. But the story is, it don't have to be your biological son. For Allah will send you someone else, and you treat him like your son, and he may be the mastermind. Because keep in mind, brothers and sisters, all this Islam you have in Jersey, all this religion you have in Jersey, all these churches that you have, all these masjids that you have, all these black power men on TV, on radio that you have in New Jersey. But two of the most powerful jobs in this state, named the county exec of Essex County and the governor of the state of New Jersey, we never, ever filled those seats. Now, I like my brother that's there, Joe D. I think he did a wonderful job. But he's not an African-American. He is considered a Caucasian. Now, Chrissy, y'all put him in office. But Chrissy ain't did nothing for us and slayed everybody that didn't vote for him. Now, Chrissy is a very intelligent mind. The problem is, and I would say this in front of him, he and I were sitting down, your problem was, Chrissy, is that you abuse your position. You took down everybody that didn't listen to you. That made you a god. So Allah works, they say, in mysterious ways. For the first time in the history, an Italian could have became the president of the United States or the vice president. But his jacket came back to haunt him. He made a mistake and messed with the wrong woman. So it happens he's a Caucasian when he shut that bridge down. So as much as the president liked him, he knew that his background was going to come back and haunt him. And so he has no position. And he's not going to be able to run for governor again, because he knows he ain't not going to win. So he lost his major position for what he did when he was in power. That's how Allah works. Look at Hillary Clinton. All y'all love Hillary Clinton. I have nothing against her other than what I read. And you see, everybody thought that Hillary was going to win against Obama. But Hillary had an agenda. And the agenda was not for us, the masses. When I say us, I don't mean just us black folks. I mean the human beings here in America. And so she brought her husband out. So who could run against the Clintons? Oh, Muhammad Ali said he would beat Joe Frazier and Sonny Liston in one night. This black man beat both of them in one night, named Obama. Now, all of you, whether you was Islamic or whether you was Christian, you all went for Hillary. She didn't make it. Okay, he called her back, gave her a position. She became powerful, still in her name. New agenda. Got her husband and everybody else. She getting in. Then here come old Bernie Sanders. He was so much on her tail that according to the readings, because I don't put this stuff out, I don't control the media, according to the readings, she tapped in to Bernie and stopped his momentum. Then journalists read that you know that she said money. She said money to stop that CIA or FBI. I believe it was the FBI, to not attack her during her run for the president of the United States, because they were pulling something off of her record. Sent the money through his wife. Now, it was supposed to be for running for something from the Clintons. She never ran. No one knows where the money at. She didn't give it back. So that was a payoff. So he stopped investigating. She was doing good. She was on her way home. Donald Trump found out and did the same thing to her. What he did is paid off the boss over top of the boss that she thought was on the ninth floor that didn't do any more investigation. And the boy on the 10th floor who was over top of him, he got a piece of money. And he comes out and says, we open up the investigation. Oh, did that kill her? I was saying a lot of other things, but I'm saying that happened. That was dirty play. They don't do stuff like it. Yes, they do. This is war. This is war. It ain't mean necessary. We're going to get in that office. But when you look at it, Donald Trump is not a murderer. Now, I may eat my words, because he could have murdered people by the time, I'm talking about before he came in. He was not a murderer. You can charge him with anything. You can charge him with disrespecting women, going up the dress of women. You can charge him with what he says out of his mouth, how he said the despicable things to people. That's not what I'm talking about. Forget all of that. Donald Trump did not murder anyone. Now, if we both sitting in the courtroom, my brother, and they say, listen, now, one of y'all going to jail, and the one who got the less record, I'm not going to send to prison. So what did you do, Marat? Oh, you tempt to kill someone. You beat someone up so bad you almost died. You broke this one leg, that one leg. You shot out a few people, but you didn't hit them. What about you, X? Let me see. You was victim of manslaughter, and it gave you a few years. Them a first-degree murder, second-degree murder. So we're going to give you time because you murdered three people. So we're giving you 40 years in the penitentiary. And then there was another guy, a stranger there. What is he up for? He killed 10 people, two a year in 5 years. What do they call him? Serial killer. Oh, he getting life. And may give him injection to take his life. But they want to test his brain to find out what make him tick that he went out and murdered these people. So he's going to hell. Over top of the other two. The other one got a 40 years. The other one, me, they let me off with my good record, but never killed nobody. Now, Hillary didn't kill 10 people. She destroyed cities of countries. Thousands of men and women and children died, but she got Bin Laden. She got Gaddafi. Now, who is going to answer for that? Well, according to the Holy Quran, that you will pay in this world and in the hereafter. Well, now she's big. She's getting ready to make history, a rarity. Never before that a president of the United States, even if it was his brother, it wouldn't be as big as if it was his wife. His wife going to be president of the largest company in the world. His wife is a female. The female for the first time and over a century a female going in there as the president of the United States. And Allah said, oh, no, she's a murderer. So much as we love her, she got to pay. Now you say, why did she get jail time? You know what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, and I have to use this. When they charged him with killing Malcolm, he said, oh, no. I'd rather for Malcolm to stay around and suffer for his disbelief or come into the knowledge to understand why what I'm here for. Now, I have to believe that because just taking your life is easy. That's why people commit suicide. They can't take the pressure. They are cowards. They can't take the pressure. Hillary has witnessed this. The Kennedys, you don't understand how the father Kennedy made his money. But he watched all his children die in the boat, die in plane crashes, suicide, murder, women on trial again, grandsons, sons. He's in a wheelchair praying that he would die. Assassination. Oh, come on, brother, sister. Who want to live and see their babies die like that? Allah is so severe in his punishment. He said, your children will suffer for your actions. Yes. And I wonder why Allah, who is so merciful, would take it out on our children. And then it came to me. Shoot me. You know, I'm Killer Joe. Trigger, I don't care, I'll die. But I ain't begging you for nothing. Oh, you're not, huh? No. Go get his daughter. Man, I'm begging, I'm crawling, please don't kill her. Why? Oh, now I got your undivided attention. Allah is God, he got your attention. Yes, they will take your child away from you, or they will suffer for your way of life. Now, anybody loves their children straighten up real, man. I can't let my child go through this. I'm gonna be obedient to Allah. You don't understand death. Children dying every day. But look at it in the best way. They're going right to heaven. You not. You still on this earth. You got to prove to Allah you worthy. You got past 60. That's good, but what have you done? Because now you know you got one foot in the grave, one out, but what have you done? Therese Jinder. So a child leaves in the womb, goes right to heaven. The child leaves at 5 years old, going right to heaven. How about 8 years old, going right to heaven? There's no sin in them. You charged with it. So if you want your children, your offspring to suffer, then you can't just do anything you want in this world. Hillary could never come back. That's it with her. And now they're bringing out everything, that it was a rig for Bernie Sanders not to get in. I don't know what Bernie did and what he didn't do. Still got his dignity. But now all this stuff, all this, they got you thinking that's knowing. Did the despicable. Yeah, they bugging on each other. They got everything bugged. You can't walk around your house naked no more, sister. You think you high. You ain't high. They know everything about you. You see, Satan comes to get the one that's independent. Yes, at least you think you independent, but he's coming. He's going to come get you. Anyway. Brother and sister, all I want to do is inspire you to understand the simple things in life. You know, we had no idea that we was also Muslims when we was Christians. We had no idea. We didn't even have any concern. And none of us traveled to another world to find out whether we was Christians or Muslims. But Farad came to us. Allah allowed him to migrate here from a foreign country. Yes. And then he introduced it to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad that migrated to Detroit from Augusta, Georgia. And Elijah Muhammad only had a third year of a formal education. How are you going to take a man with a third grade education and make him as powerful as he is? Because why? He wasn't of this world. He wasn't of this world, so Allah gave him a thought. And we talked Islam, but we didn't know El-Islam. No, we didn't know El-Islam. There's not a Muslim over there, overseas, did not come here, and they do not accept us. And they from overseas, and all of a sudden they become to migrate here from overseas. And I don't care, brothers and sisters. You know, my leader taught me very strongly. I'm not inferior to no man. I don't care what part of the world he came to. We ain't inferior, who was taught by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. But they came over here. And they read the Quran. And I know it was beautiful. They ain't got it in their heart. They can't understand how beautiful it is. They are not in the conscious of mindset that God gave it to us. They don't communicate. No. And they doesn't treat us with justice. It's just another beautiful song. It sounds good to you, but you don't change your condition. Isn't that amazing? You're still in the same hell you was in when you came in. You're sitting around in houses and little clubs and little dinner, and all you do is talk about whatever you're talking about is no advancement. But meanwhile, slavery is happening in Delta, Mississippi. Isn't that amazing? But you don't care. You're sitting around talking in the masjids and running from building to houses, or brag about what you built from the ground, but no one's in there. Or brag about what land you have but can't develop it. Or brag about you the only man, ain't nobody coming in there teaching, and yet you have nothing. And then you're losing your schools. You're keeping the name alive. I thank you for that with one student. A weekend student, Sister Clara Muhammad. My brother, if she can come back, she would say, take my name off that building. It's a shame and disgrace. With this modern technology, you got one student with my name up there. Clara Muhammad. But she told that Caucasian, you ain't going to tell me how to teach my children. And she had seven of them or more. But she told them that they're not going to no public school. I would teach them. And you telling me that you got one, two students? Well, if enough of us took five children apiece in 500 homes, we can teach them. You just multiply 500 of us times five, and you get 250 children learning. But you don't care. You say you care, but you don't care. And that's why you're catching the hell we are catching here. Because we don't see Quran for its true self. We just read. And if you're reading and you ain't comprehending and it ain't changing your condition, it's just a beautiful song. That's all it is. For we are making terrible mistakes. I cannot. Allah said the whole earth is a masjid. But there's a brother standing in the way. He got so greedy, he moved the men that helped build that place out of the way. Yes, and did it outside the Islamic rules and regulations, but he called himself an imam. And then the children, the one of the most successful schools there is winging down to nobody. He don't care. Why? Because he's an enemy. And he thinks he's going to be successful. That's an enemy. When no one cares about your baby, he's an enemy. All he cares about is power. He's an enemy. He's a coward, and all those who support him. Why do you think, man, today they don't just shoot the leader? They shoot everything that's with them and the children. They don't care no more. Satan has no more shame. Blow up everybody. But we can't do that in Islam. We fight fire with fire. You want to fight me? Wherever way you come, that's the way we fight. And we're not the aggressor, but we fight those who fight against us. That's Islam. And that's the way it's supposed to be. You go and try to trick us and con us day in life. Man, we have 2 cents for it. But I met some brothers I was talking to, strong Muslims, been around a long time, but didn't know them. Because the way they were dressed and the way they wear their beard. But they come through the first experience. But one brother said, I know you, Brother Paul. Paul 5X. That kind of touched me. I mean, he knew me because I was a crack soldier back then. I was soldiering in the army of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad for all that was right. And it taught me how to venture. But I was saying to those brothers, man, all I need is you. Y'all ain't lost your heart. Y'all just don't have no one guiding you. You have no one instilling you. We can do in this country, more or less in our state. And so as much as I brought up Joe D, I don't see no one qualified, but if my brother ran against him, I have to protect my brother. Because we need a African-American, yes, what I said, an African-American county exec, just to prove that we're someone. But if he thinks just like an African-American, we don't need him either. We need a man that understands he's for the people, by the people, to help you to Allah. You can't just, yes, you lean towards your race that caught more hell than anyone. I don't mean get in office and say, oh, that's favoritism. Oh, man, somebody need to smack you. That's favoritism. You know, the Jews get in office, they rule. Boy, the Jews got it sold up. The Italians get in office, they rule. Italians have it sold up. The Irishmen get in the office, they rule. The Irishmen got it tied up. And here come the African-American. Everyone rules but us. And you say, hey, man, why you give me that contract? Man, I don't want to show favoritism. Man, somebody need to smack them. You don't want to show favoritism. How is it that we got all these great conglomerate buildings being built and Joe's doing a good job, all these beautiful schools, and the only thing we got to show for it is our name as our dead. Our dead name is there, and our dead name is there, and our dead name is there. But none of them dead communities of leaders got anything. Nothing but a name on the building. Man, take my name down, but give me a legacy that I can reach back and help my community. I'm not against the brothers that got these restaurants. One brother was, he read Muhammad the Prophet, he married a black woman. And so you can't just go in there and take his restaurant, but then you hurt that sister and her family. He was smart. Muhammad the Prophet, prayers be upon him, married a Jew. Why? So the Jewish religion don't come against the Muslims. That's the law. They don't hurt no one that's married into the family. Prophet Muhammad married these wives for a reason. You thought it was sex with your pea brain. But more important than that, they had some, they ain't married us. Well, they taking us money. And we lay up there and give it to them. I told a brother that would never, ever happen during the time of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. We get them off and they can't refuse. You get out of Dodge. But today we're more civilized. But every business in our neighborhood, we're partners of. Now we're in the nail business. We're in the restaurant business. We're in the halal business. We're in everything that you feed to our people, we're in the business with you. Why? Because our people will stop. One call out, one come on to prayer. And after prayer, go to work. What do you want us to do? Don't support them. Don't buy their clothes. Don't eat their food. Don't buy their halal. Stop right now. How long? As long as they make that phone call. But it better be someone like Murad Muhammad. Because the worst thing you do is send a insignificant pea brain, never had nothing in life, to go make a deal for you. That's the problem. I'll go make this deal. Well, what are you going to get? Well, I think I'll get a house. Wow, you live in a beautiful house. I know you're going to pick one like that. No, man, you kidding me? Yeah, he may live in a beautiful house. But you won't get a house that their wife would say, oh, hell no, we ain't living there. But the Ummah can live there. Oh, this is a shame. But I asked these men. See, I always ask them questions. And he used to say to me that when I used to ask him, I used to say, Brother Imam, I don't like disturbing you. He said, you don't disturb me. He said, you'd be surprised of these men that come to me and ask me babies questions that they can figure out themselves. But when you ask a question, I hesitate. I'm saying to myself, you know, fast thought travels, 24,000 miles per second. I'm saying, what do he mean by that? He said, I have to reminisce and go into my hard drive and look at the Quran in my subconscious mind and bring it to the conscious and then tell you the answer. Lord, I said, okay, brother, man. But I don't understand why these brothers chose to be leaders over the masjid but cannot produce anything. He said, because they curse. Wow. And all those who follow them are cursed too because they're not going to get anything. Wow. Imam, when he speaks strong. But you got to understand now, he's not going to give you the full answer. And I'm going to tell you why. Because a brother came to me and they said, yes, we're going to let so-and-so take over and lead us in prayer and show us the way. And I said, why, brother? Well, Imam Wallace D. Muhammad called him a professor. And I said, oh, so that's why? He said, yes. I said, but did you know what he meant? Brother, I don't know what a scholar is. I don't know what a professor is. I said, but he didn't mean it like that, brother. I said, what, he's a scholar in his research. He's the best research there is. He finds somebody else's knowledge and put it all together and give it to you. But that don't make him a man with foresight, ability to create, they didn't go for it. They moved him in, put him above everybody. Where is he today? Everything he touched fell. But they didn't want to believe me. You know, Harriet Tubman rings in my ear. You can't help nobody that's that stubborn and stuck on stupid and won't allow you to guide them to freedom. That's how she lost her life. I hear her many times in my ear, Brother Rod, they ain't going to listen to you. Jealousy, envious, go to the people that's free, like doctors and lawyers and community that want something out of life. But you stay here, and they worry about who you had and who you was with and what happened to your first life and I mean, all the crazy things that don't make no sense. None whatsoever. Everything that attached to me was successful. I have continuity. It's all the brothers who fell, there's ones who left me. The women that was around that left, they didn't go nowhere, and some did now, some saw. I give them credit. But they searching for there got to be another employer that is better than Mirage. See, the difference is if your talent run out, bye, see you, don't want to be you, but Mirage holds on to you. And see if he can find something that can make you larger. That's the difference for the sake of Allah. When I sit in my board meeting, everybody's against everybody. I said, well, if they weak, yeah, well, then teach them. But we ain't getting rid of them. See, Allah blessed me to be a khalifa. I'm not no dictator. I don't want anything you don't want me to have. Ask my wife. She'll tell you. I don't feel like cooking tonight. Okay, don't cook. Hungry as hell. Don't cook. Tomorrow she wants to cook. I cook dinner. I'm fasting. Cook. I'm fasting. Tomorrow I'm fasting. Third day I'm fasting. Now she caught on. I don't want you to cook for me anyway because it ain't going to taste good. Don't ever do anything for me that you don't want to do. So sometimes your wife thinks there's something wrong with you from another space. You're out your mind. No, I'm no slave to nothing but Allah. I can turn off that quick. I was talking to my daughter. Yeah, I talk to my daughters like this. I guess that's why they so much a fighter, telling them that this big guy threatened to tear the whole house up with all my children, talking about lighting the match to the burner and blew up the house. Time he said house, I was in his throat. You would have thought it was my hands. I couldn't wait to get that close, so it was a jump sidekick. And that big joker laying down choking, and I'm punching him all in his eye. You know, you hit the eye, ain't no muscle there. See, I'm hitting him all in the eye, and I hit him one time, he holler, ah. I hit him one, two, he holler, ah. And I hit him the third time, he holler, ah. I hit him once, he holler, ah. I said, what is that? And I made a mistake and took my head away from him and turned around. My wife was hitting him in the ankle or the kneecap with a hammer. And he bit me. Had three of my fingers in his mouth. So my daughter said, what did you do, Daddy? I said, I act like it was nothing. I'm a martial artist. I don't show no pain. Hurting like crazy. And I'm saying, what are you doing? You think I'm going to let you fight by yourself? Woman, get out of here. She don't know. Just that alone got him almost biting my finger off. But he couldn't believe that I wouldn't holler. He made a mistake and let it go. Now, I'm telling that story to show you it's all mind over matter. You come home, brother, you ain't ate all day long. You got the dry mouth, your stomach is craving for food, and your wife got the dinner all on the table, and you taking your ablution, you know, doing wudu, so wudu, because what you do when you come in, your prayers is already, you know, made them all before you came home. But more important, You're getting ready to eat. And phone ring. And, hey, man, your daughter's in the hospital. What? What hospital? You hang up the phone, you forget about the food, you ain't hungry no more, you in the automobile. And you get there at 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. They say, well, she's going to live. She's okay. She came out of the coma. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. A release. The burden's off you. Hey, I didn't eat. Mind over matter. Anything more important? So you say, well, what that got to do with you fasting because your wife didn't want to cook? Allah! Allah's more important than her. There's no material substance out there greater than Allah. And you're fighting over clothing. Oh, is my sleeves is down enough? Is it up more to my neck? Is my head covered? You wrapped up in kindergarten. Well, the prophet, his wife had to throw his arm. You don't know that. But it's just common sense. If you don't ask Allah to bless you with common sense, there's a dress code back then. I ain't talking about the pagans walking around here naked. Allah civilized those who gravitated to El Islam. He didn't teach them how to dress. He just said, dress modest. But when you read it in the Holy Quran, it got nothing to do with the material stuff this man created. Dress your consciousness. Dress your morals. Dress your heart. For Satan unclothes you. You follow the Satan. But you take Allah and use his words as something physical. There's no physical, because then you give it to man, created material. But he had to go to God's substance in order to create that material, to create diamonds. He had to go in Allah's earth to get that. Oh, brothers and sisters, if you just get out of the physical and start looking at the Quran as Allah talking to your nature, get all this fairy tales. You worry about material. The longer the material, the closer you are to what? The closer your material to the ground. Well, what that got to do with your heart? I saw a lady dressed from head to toe, but she wobbled. And she wobbled into the bathroom, and then she wobbled outside the bathroom, and she went home. They walked in and found out that the lady was stabbed 21 times. Killed that woman. They knocked on the door, and the husband opened up the door. They knocked him down and went in there, and she was half nude, grabbed her by the hair and pulled out. Where's her clothes now? Where's her material now? Now, thinking, should they have did that? No, what they're saying, you're a murderer with all those clothes on. You don't deserve to have none. Dragged out there like an animal. Where's the clothes now? Did it stop her from being a murderer? Did it stop her from being Allah and kill someone and take it in your own hand? Well, today you ain't murdering people, but you killing the character of people. Yes, you're a murderer and killing the character of people. Our sisters and our brothers that grew up with us that you call kafa and don't even know what the word means, but you call them kafas. And that's our mothers, that's our fathers, that's our sisters, that's our neighbors. You ain't want to hug the neighbor that you was a gymnast, you was cheerleader, you was in a band. And today, now you got long dresses on, you don't even want to talk to them. There's something sick with you. You ain't got this religion. You reading, but you ain't comprehending, and Allah surely ain't giving to you. So maybe Donald Trump will wake you up. You see, let me tell you what they do over there in Israel. And I want you to listen to this. You see, the Arabs used to hide amongst the Italians and sometimes amongst the Latinos or the Portuguese because you can't tell them apart. So this is what the army over there do. It's a certain army. And a certain army likes to rape people, too. They don't care nothing. So they walk down the street and they say, excuse me, sir, do you have a cigarette? What kind is the cigarette? And they hear the accent. They beat the hell out of that Muslim. Because they didn't know who he was. So they act like they are being kind, so they ask him for a cigarette just to get him to speak, and they beat the hell out of him because of the accent. Fear, that's the army. Well, that's a sign. You walking down the street, and they see that you ain't practicing this religion, but your name is Arabic, but you ain't practicing it. So they beat the hell out of you. Not physically, because in America, too many cameras and they get caught. But they beat you up because you're not practicing the religion, so they don't care no more. Yeah, who you? They study this religion. They don't penetrate it. They're all in the masjid. They know who's who, who's selling dope, who's smoking, who's getting high, who can smoke reefer before they read the Quran. They know it all. Then they call a meeting.
We come here for homeland security, and we want all the Muslims to show up, Mr. Imam, and just introduce us. Yes, what's your name? My name is Akbar Rahim Shiraz. Good. Where you live at? And all the time they taping you, and they got your name. And who are you? I'm saying, who are you? All y'all stand up that for El-Islam. Allahu Akbar, yeah, we're going to save you. Allahu Akbar, yeah, we're going to do this. Allahu Akbar, yeah, all y'all, we taking pictures and putting you downtown on our book. Allahu Akbar. Yeah, where you, Allahu Akbar? You have just been had. They're going to save you. They came and saved the country, but they come to save you. And you, Imam, opens the door so you can be with them. Yes, the boss. Yes, the boss. Now, I come from security, brother. And I am part of law enforcement. I gave a lot of money to this state and around the country to law enforcement. Yes, I go on Mount Everest and said I helped brought by the state troopers bulletproof vests, the first vest ever in the history of the state. Got a long track record. But I also know that there's a group in the group called the Blue Coats, and they got their own force, and their force is to take you all down. Now, if you got nothing to offer, and all you do is run in your mouth and go home to your wife and then come back on Friday and run your mouth, you ain't no threat to Satan. Satan knows he don't have to mess with you. You got nothing. You mean nothing. But he want to catch that one that thinks that he is righteous and dialed. So this is what they do. They got a new program coming on now. I can't remember the name. Don't forget the name, whatever the name is. But what it is they got AT&T. Listen to this. AT&T is going over 20 years. Now, you say your record been spun. You say that you didn't be in trouble in 40 years. They go back 50 years to find everybody who committed a crime. And guess who's doing the investigation? AT&T. That means all your tax money that goes to the federal government, they ain't using it. They're using AT&T, who's paying for them, to assist them to pull all of your records. And when they find out that you had a felon, they're coming down on you. And guess what subpoena they get? They created their own subpoena, meaning they don't even have to go to the judges to get the subpoena. Now, who instituted this? The President of the United States. Why? Oh, you might catch up to me later. So listen to this, my sister, who don't want to practice El-Islam and don't want to be part of a community. They find out that you was a prostitute. They find out that you screwed this one and that one and this one. They find out, brother, that you sold drugs or still selling drugs. They find out this and that and this and this and this and that, and they coming to you. Where's the sponge of the record? I thought my history was left behind. Now, we not supposed to let no one do that, but you don't belong to a community. Oh, you belong to them, that's it. So let me see. I don't say no names, But all the messages at that corner store, you might have 5, 10 people might come out. All those that got little bigger buildings than that, you might have 25 people coming out. Or how about one of the largest masjids? Oh, that's so messed up. You might have 100 people coming out. But that don't shut nobody down. But when you got 10,000 Muslims saying this is unconstitutional, and if you continue to do that, we will shut this whole city down. Well, it's 40,000 of us, and 25,000 will shut the state down. Now you got power. Nobody loves individuals. Nobody loves an individual. Now you're going to wish you was a part of a community. Come willingly or come by force. So how do Allah tries us? I'm going to tell you how he tries you, brother. With that jinn. Think that jinn is in you. That's your trial. Can you allow that jinn, sister? Can you allow that jinn, brother? And you sit there and that jinn tell you, hate that sister, for she got what you want. And you can't get it, so hate her. Or hate that sister because that brother likes to do things for her. Hate her. Don't take care of that sister. Worry about who she with and who she's not with. With your evil self, self and self, but you by yourself as an individual. That's when you'll wake up. Now, I know you say you got your degree and I'm not going to jail because I made it. Why don't you go and visit Turkey? Every social degree, bachelor degree, master degree, and PhD. How about medical doctors? It's in jail. In jail, because the president felt they are a threat. Shut them down. Can't happen here because President Trump would never let that happen. You better wake up and realize, no, Donald can't hurt nobody that ain't fighting him. And Allah told us to be the aggressor. But all these things are happening around us. So allow me to reiterate. If you don't decide to be obedient to Allah in this time and get your barakats and your blessings, for you follow the sunnah. It says you don't follow the congregation prayer. That's a lot. I follow Salat. No, it don't say that. You follow the Sunnah. But it don't say you follow the Salat. You follow the Sunnah. What is the Sunnah? The Sunnah is Muhammad the Prophet. Muhammad the Prophet. What is Muhammad the Prophet? The Uswa. The nature of the human being. So you follow the Sunnah. Do you do your Sunnah? Well, let's see what the sunnah is. Do you do your sunnah prayer? Now, I know you don't know why you do your sunnah prayers, but do you do your sunnah prayers? So you get blessings for good intention because none of these mans are teaching you what the sunnah prayer is. But I'm here to tell you, before we go off the air, I'm asking you a question. Do you follow the sunnah? What is the sunnah? Don't you do the sunnah prayer? But when you do the sunnah prayer, do your husband lead you in it? Do your father lead you in it? Do your son lead you in it? Who leads you in your sunnah prayer? You lead yourself. That's your responsibility, the sunnah. You owe a debt to Allah, and you must pay that debt back with your evil self and your rebellious self, and you care nothing about the neighbor. Or your even sister, or your mother, your father, or your sisters and brothers. You care nothing about them, brother imams. The shoe fit, wear it. I make it broad, you see. Because I got, the Honorable Muhammad said, you stand up for what's right. And I stood up then when the bullets was moving and could have lost my life. And today I'm here for a reason. Tell you like it is. You follow the sunnah. your own personal responsibility, so you can't blame nobody. Well, that sister told me thus and so. She ain't the sunnah. Well, my husband told me not to do such and so. He ain't the sunnah. I ain't telling you. Don't misconstrue, sister. I ain't telling you to rebel against your husband. What about Pharaoh? Go read about his wife that went all the way in the attic in that castle and made Salat. That was her sunnah by herself. And then came back and act like she didn't do it. Because she did, she would have lost what she had in that world. But she went and begged her Lord. Go read about that. And maybe you will understand that if you got a nut for a husband and can't get away from him, go make your sunnah to Allah. I'm telling you rebel against your husband. I'm saying trust in your Allah. And Allah will show you the way, how to get out of anything that you're in. And maybe you won't be so loose that you're so low in your morals that you got to take on anything and be a part of anything because you don't want to submit to what Allah has given a gift to. Remember, Walid D. Muhammad has taught us all divine mind, brought us in 1975. Pick up the Holy Quran and read it. Now you got brothers saying, Yusuf Ali is not the right man. Take that overseas where they're killing each other. Who taught you that? You didn't get it on your own. Some foreigner came in there and taught. Hamasallah, Hamasallah. Amen. Brother, they use words to identify who's with me because we suicide bombers. And they laugh at you. They look at you like you out your mind. It's not even applied for just anybody. It's for Muhammad the Prophet, but no one teaches you that because you want to follow the foreigners. Yes, they build big messages. Alhamdulillah. But building a big masjid to just go pray, where's the big conglomerate buildings for our children to play? Where's big buildings for our children to be able to have recreation? Where's our big schools at? But we building these conglomerate masjids to pray but don't go to work. We build these masjids just for our native person that migrated over here and most of them being kicked out now. I'm telling you, man, this is Allah at his best, and said, now who is Allah? That you got a jinn that you can see. We try and put Donald Trump back in the bottle. That's that jinn. You can physically see him now. The jinn is in you. Allow that jinn. Make that jinn Muslim. Now, I know you're not going to be able to make it Muslim in your lifetime because I can't do that. I'm telling you right now. My jinn sometimes get carried away. But damn, he's not a sympathizer. He's a sympathizer. I got that far with him. Certain things I can control. I can control my jinn. That I can do what would send me the jinnah. In order to get the jinnah, I have to be obedient to my Lord, and I have to give back to my community and take the knowledge in which I obtained on this radio show and give it back to you. And hopefully you'll wake up, find men and women that can lead you into success so we don't have to worry about monetary compensation. And then read, brother, and stop just reading and not comprehending. Read when Allah says that get a piece of this dunya. What dunya is he talking about? You being poor and abstaining for all the good things that man has utilized from the will of Allah? Allah gave them the ability, man, to put roads down and highways down and bridges. And Allah gave that to them, man, to develop automobiles to ride on those roads and trains on the train tracks. And getting you from one part of the country to the other part by plane, taking you to foreign countries, and now going to the moon, and find out they just found a new life in Mars. Come on, brother, this is evolving. This is the knowledge of God. But you don't want to be part of that. You just want to walk around dead. You just want to sit around and read and go to the masjid like you in slavery all over again. It's just in the name of Arabic, Arabia.
Y'all just speak Arabic. But the Arabira is not just for you to talk to these English people. Now, take yourself overseas, man, and see if you speak their language. And they be talking all around you. And at the same time, they talking about you. You don't even know what they're saying. That's not Islam. They know English. It ain't a man that come over here to become successful don't know English. They study it in their own country. But when you come around, they won't speak it because they don't have no respect for you. But you trying to speak their language. You trying to get out of your language and speak their language. How are you going to teach the people in other language? I come to the conclusion that we got a bunch of, you say Michael Jackson is dead, and you say that Ray Charles is dead, and you say Marvin Gaye is dead. I don't think so. I think we need to be brought back in the light of you need sexual healing. You need someone to, because that's all they're doing is dancing and singing. And you see Michael, and you say, did you see Michael? Oh, he was great. He was great. And then a week go by, you forgot all about Michael. That's the way it is. You are taught Arabira. Oh, for a whole half an hour, nothing but Arabira. Oh, is he dancing? Is he singing? And you go right back to the same hell you was at before you got there. I thank you for listening to me, and I hope I didn't say anything to hurt you or but to wake you up. But if I hurt you, I apologize from the bottom of my heart. If I say anything that was incorrect, well, you got the point. I'm human. I make mistakes. But if I can just lift you up into your consciousness and stand up in your spirit and stand up in your nature and revert back to your El Fitra, which is your nature, and be obedient to God. If you do that, don't give me that credit. Give that credit to Allah. I greet you with the Arabic language from all the prophets, from Adam, your father, Noah, Joseph, Abraham, Moses, Jesus, and Muhammad. Peace and blessing be upon him from the Holy Quran. Assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you. Thank you for listening.